listener. How are you today?
I hope all of you are doing great.
I'm Rahma.
I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRE Digital Mobile App.
Here's the news read by Ray. First, the headlines. Recognized by UNESCO, Indonesia continues to strengthen cultural diplomacy. Minister Erlangga Hartarto affirms Indonesia's inflation is under control and Manufacturing Purchasing Manager Index is again expansive. And now the news in details. The first news. Following the designation of Reog Ponorogo, Kebaya, and Kolintang as intangible cultural heritage by UNESCO last December, the Indonesian government through the Minister of Culture continues to strengthen cultural diplomacy in international forums and cultural festivals. This was conveyed by Indonesian Minister of Culture, Fadli Zon, in a conversation with RRA, Voice of Indonesia, at the Ministry of Culture in Jakarta on Thursday.
Currently, we have some programs on Kebaya, such as with the Kebaya communities in Brunei, Malaysia, Singapore, and Thailand, and also Reog International Friendship in Japan, and Indonesian cultural festivals in Netherlands, Thailand, and Japan, and partner with educational institutions globally to introduce Indonesian culture into curricula, workshops, and also academic exchanges.
Minister Fadli Zon added that the Ministry of Culture also provides support for the artists behind Indonesia's cultural wealth so that they can perform on the international stage. In the future, the Ministry of Culture will submit other Indonesian cultures as UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage, including tempe, weaving, machete, and congklak. The second news. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Erlangga Hartarto, assessed that controlled inflation and Indonesia's Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index in December 2024 reflected the economy's resilient performance. Quoted by Antara on Friday, he said that annual inflation recorded at 1.57% year-on-year remained under control, within the national target range of 2.5% plus minus 1%. In addition, the manufacturing PMI also recorded an expansionary level at 51.2 after previously being at contractionary level. According to Minister Erlangga Hartarto, as quoted from his statement in Jakarta on Thursday, this condition also reflects the positive outlook for the manufacturing sector. With many companies preparing for increased demand in 2025, controlled inflation and expansionary PMI shows that the business world remains optimistic about the condition of the national economy going forward. This is also reflected in the World Bank's forecast, which projects Indonesia's economy grow by 5.2% in 2025. The third news. The Ministry of Transportation seeks to reactivate international flights at Sultan Mahmud Badarudin to Airport Palembang in South Sumatra. Reported by Antara, Deputy Minister of Transportation Sutana, when interviewed in Palembang on Thursday, said international flights at Sultan Mahmud Badarudin to Airport Palembang are important to be reactivated immediately to meet the needs of the community. Moreover, the routes that were previously active before the COVID-19 pandemic, Malaysia and Singapore, are in great demand by the people of South Sumatra. The route especially in demand for purposes such as colonial period. Reported by RRE.co.id, business steps of the South Sumatra Provincial Government and the Palembang City Government to reactivate the international routes. The fourth news. The Indonesian Ministry of Culture received an audience from the Malay ASEAN community on Thursday. This audience discussed the repatriation of a number of citizens of Malay descent who were exiled in South Africa during the Dutch colonial period. Reported by RRI.co.id, during an audience at the Minister of Cultural Office in Jakarta on Thursday, chairperson of the Malay ASEAN community, Saida Baginda Medi Hanum Sari, said Malay descendants were exiled during the Padri War in 1803 to 1837. Hanum claimed there were around 500,000 people of Malay descent who were exiled to South Africa and currently have not returned home. In his efforts to find the lost truth, Hanum admitted that they struggled to seek justice for 6 years in hopes to find a bright spot. According to him, some West Sumatrans who were exiled to South Africa were very close and reluctant to choose to communicate. Hanum is optimistic about voicing justice so that they can return to the country. The fifth news. Ministry of Higher Education, Science and Technology support research in sheep farming sector. Deputy Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology Fauzan supports various research efforts in the sheep farming sector and sustainable food security. Quoted by Antara, Fauzan through a statement in Jakarta on Friday said that universities need to prioritize the development of research-based business units so that they can support food security. The results of this business development can be rolled out as a model of business development in the community, which is not limited to businesses based on livestock commodities, but also in the development of other commodities. Fauzan hopes that research in animal husbandry can develop various variants that are high of quality and efficiency. The sixth news. PT Dirgantara Indonesia said it would focus on technological innovation to strengthen exports and to contribute to national defense independence efforts by 2025. Reported by Antara, PTDI President Director Gita Amperiawan in Bandung, West Java on Thursday said that this commitment not only made the best contribution to the nation, but also encouraged the progress and optimization of the domestic industry. Gita also said, as the only aircraft manufacturer in Indonesia and Southeast Asia, PTDI is making various marketing efforts to obtain new contracts, both for domestic and foreign markets. In the future, PTDI will also maximize the optimization of weapon system production capacity in addition to aircraft production. Thus, PTDI claims to be ready to support the fulfillment of the Indonesian military needs and invites all elements of the nation to unite to support this step. And the final news. Chairman of the Indonesian Beach Soccer Association, Anggara Wicitra Sastramijoyo, set the target of the Indonesian national beach soccer team at the 2025 Beach Soccer Asian Cup is to form the best team framework. Quoted by Antara on Friday, Anggara said that the target is considered quite realistic because the Indonesian beach soccer has long been vacuum. The 2025 Beach Soccer Asian Cup will be played at Jamtien Beach, Pattaya, Thailand from 20th to 30th of March. In this tournament, Indonesia joins in Group C with Iran, Afghanistan, and the United Arab Emirates. The top three teams in the tournament will qualify for the 2025 Beach Soccer World Cup held in Victoria, Seychelles on the same occasion. Anggara also spoke that in 2025, ASPI will also focus on strengthening beach soccer communities in various regions in Indonesia. After completing the Beach Soccer Championship in Bali last December, he said ASPI's focus is now to hold a similar tournament in Jakarta around mid-2025. And that was the news of Voice of Indonesia.
Today's commentary is on Iran and three European countries to discuss nuclear deal. Iran will meet with three European countries that are parties to the initial nuclear deal on January the 13th. According to the ISNA news agency, citing Iranian Deputy Foreign Minister Kazem Gharibabadi, consultations between Iran, France, Germany, and Britain will be held in Geneva, Switzerland. Negotiations related to the nuclear program between Iran and the three European countries were last held on November the 29th, 2024 in Geneva after a two-year hiatus. Diplomats from Britain, Germany, France, and Iran met to discuss Tehran's nuclear program and sanctions against the country. A week earlier, the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, adopted a resolution initiated by Britain, Germany, France, and the United States. This resolution was criticized by Tehran as an anti-Iranian move because it didn't take into account the results of the visit of IAEA Director General Rafael Grossi to Iran. Grossi visited Iran on November the 14th and 15th to hold talks with Iranian leaders and inspect Iran's nuclear facilities in Fordo and Natanz. The aim was to determine the implementation of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or JCPOA, on Iran's nuclear program. Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian, in his meeting with Grossi, stressed that Iran has never developed and will not develop nuclear weapons. Analysts saw the talks in late November last year as the last chance to revive diplomacy on Iran's nuclear program before Donald Trump's return to power earlier this year. The JCPOA was signed in 2015 by Iran, France, Germany, Britain, China, Russia, the United States, and the European Union. The deal stipulated the easing of international sanctions in exchange for curbs on Iran's nuclear program. However, the United States withdrew from JCPOA in 2018 and reimposed sanctions on Tehran, which then announced a gradual reduction in its commitments related to nuclear research and uranium enrichment. Preventing countries from developing nuclear weapons is difficult when nuclear-armed states and nuclear alliances insist that these weapons of mass destruction are essential to their security. However, all countries should recognize that continued reliance on weapons of mass destruction will only make the world less safe. The 2017 Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons offers a path forward to renounce nuclear weapons once and for all in a verifiable manner. All countries should join this treaty without delay. It is hoped that the upcoming meeting on January the 13th will produce positive results for a safe and peaceful world. That was commentary today.
Brought today in history with January 3, 1920, the earthquake in central Mexico. Magnitude 6.3 to 6.4, earthquake struck part of the Mexican state of Puebla and Veracruz. On the evening of January 3, 1920, the epicenter was at the edge of the Trans-Mexican Volcanic Belt, where a fault line lands. The earthquake killed up to 604 CH people. Many of the victims died as a result of landslides that hit along the Huitzilapa and Pescado rivers. Moving on to January 3, 1993, the Second START Treaty signed. The Second Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, or START, was a bilateral agreement between the United States and Russia to reduce and limit strategic arms. It was signed by United States President George H.W. Bush and Russian President Boris Yeltsin in Moscow. Russia, on January 3, 1993, the Second START Treaty banned the use of MIRVs, or multiple independently targetable intra vehicles, on intercontinental ballistic missiles, or ICBMs. MIRV is a ballistic missile that contains multiple warheads that can each be directed to hit a different target. In history with January 3, 2004, the Flash Airlines plane crashed into the Red Sea. On January 3, 2004, a Boeing 737 operated by Egyptian Airlines, Flash Airlines crashed into the Red Sea shortly after takeoff from Sharm el-Sheikh International Airport, bound for Carlos de Gaulle International Airport, Paris, France. The crash killed at 135 passengers, most of who were French tourists and 13 crew members. It was one of the deadliest plane crashes in Egypt. That's today in history.
kali aku tersesat. Yang ku rasa hanyalah kecewa, sakit hati, bikin sakit hati. Semua ini terjadi berkali-kali, gak pernah aku mengerti mengapa begini. Masih saja kau selalu ingkari janji. Sakit hati, bikin sakit hati. Semua ini terjadi berkali-kali.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian government prepares 90,000 tons of superior seeds to boost agriculture production. Deputy Minister of Agriculture Sudaryono said the ministry is preparing 90,000 tons of rice and corn superior seeds to boost agricultural production in 2025. The seeds are for 3.7 million hectares of land in 2025. That was stated by the deputy minister in a statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, as quoted by Antara. The deputy minister said the move was taken to improve national food productivity and support government program in reducing rice import. Deputy Minister Sudaryono also said that the superior seed provision will be focused on regions with low planting index. In 2025, the Agriculture Ministry provides more than 3 million hectares of land for rice, while the rest will be for corn seed. Sudaryono affirmed that during a close coordination meeting on food in Semarang, Central Java on 30 December 2025, Sudaryono also added that the productivity is aimed to improve by 15 to 20%. Therefore, the Agriculture Ministry focused on the quality seed distribution for farmers across the country. Besides, the Deputy Minister also encouraged the logistic agency to absorb farmer harvest mainly in Central Java, one of the nation's main food estates. According to him, the harvest is very important to maintain food price stability and protect farmers from post-harvest price flux. Meanwhile, Coordinating Minister for Food Zulkifli Hasan said that in 2025, Indonesia will not import some food products, namely rice, salt, and sugar. According to Zulkifli Hasan, rice absorption from farmers will be fully accommodated by Bulog, as the President instruction. With this, the government is optimistic to improve the nation's food resilience, reduce import dependence, and support farmer welfare in Indonesia. That was My Indonesia.
Thank you.
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcasts in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder. Listener, while the floating market is the highlight of South Kalimantan tourism, the region also offers a variety of other fascinating attractions, especially for beach lovers. Today's Indonesian Wonder introduces you to one highly recommended beach destination in South Kalimantan, which is Pakisung Beach.
covering an area of almost 1 hectare with a length of 85 meters and a width of 80 meters. This beach not only showcases natural beauty, but also provides a glimpse into the daily lives of local fishermen. Located about 62.4 kilometers from Banjarbaru, the capital of South Kalimantan, it takes about 1.5 hours to reach the beach. To enter and enjoy the beauty of Takisum Beach, visitors need to buy a ticket which costs 5,000 rupiah on regular days and 10,000 rupiah on holidays, or less than 1 year's dowry. Once you arrive, you'll be amazed by the scenic surroundings, where the beach is lined with coconut trees and features soft brownish sand. You can swim safely here, as the waves are relatively calm. In addition to swimming, you can take a boat ride to Batu Island using Klotok Boat, a diesel-powered boat named after the unique klotok sound it makes. Batu Island is a small island just off the coast of Takisum Beach. Listener, Takisum Beach also offers various fun activities. For those looking for an adrenaline rush, you can rent a mini racing motorbike to ride along the beach. The rental fee is around 50,000 rupiah, or about $3 for 30 minutes. You can also try the banana boat ride with tickets costing 20,000 rupiah per adult and 15,000 rupiah for a child. The beach area is well equipped with facilities such as restaurants, parking lots, bathrooms, and cottages, ensuring a comfortable visit for everyone. Well, listeners, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program we present to you, Miscellany. Listener, today's Miscellany informs you about students from Yogyakarta-based Gajah Mada University that have once again made the university and of course Indonesian nation proud. A team of the university students won a silver medal at the International Youth Summit 2024. This event held by Universitas Putra Malaysia on November 9 to the 10, 2024, is an international competition for essays and scientific presentations. Gajah Mada University's team impressed the judges with their project titled Boba Bean, an innovative instant red bean beverage for anemia prevention among adolescents. Boba Bean is a red bean-based drink designed to help prevent anemia in teenagers by providing an easy and nutritious way to boost iron intake. The idea for this project came from the high number of anemia cases in Indonesia, especially among teenage girls. Many people find iron pills or supplements hard to take, so the team wanted to create a simpler and more enjoyable solution. During the competition, the team had the chance to present their project to international judges and visitors and even showcase their product by serving boba bean on the spot. Listener, the judges praised the project for its creative and research-driven approach. Boba Bean also supports Sustainable Development Goal 3, which focuses on health and well-being. The team hopes their product can be developed further and benefit more people. Winning the silver medal at International Youth Summit 2024 not only brought pride to Gajah Mada University, but also inspired young Indonesians to keep innovating and achieving at an international level.
Well, listeners, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Oh,
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, welcome back to Music Corner segment this Friday, on which we bring you local pop music from across the archipelago. Today, I'm going to play a traditional song from the Dayak people of West Kalimantan, titled Patamuan Dara Basule, which means Meeting of the Basule Girl. Accompanied by the sounds of the sape and the rhythmic beats of the gandang tatau, Patamuan Dara Basule tells the story of a girl's first impression of a man who amazed her. His appearance is stunning, like a god descending from heaven. Alright, without further delay, let's enjoy the enchanting Patamuan Dara Basule, performed by Novi Suara. Enjoy listening to the song!
Voice of Indonesia.
Much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram @voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.
Radio Jiada Voice of Indonesia 的华语节目。本台播送来自印度尼西亚的新闻、信息和娱乐。您能每天通过短波频率33.25GHz和17.55GHz。本台的网站 www.voinews.id/mandarin 的流媒体直播以及 RRI Digital 应用程序收听本台的节目 Voice of Indonesia 从印度尼西亚面向世界。